one.
Yeah, well, there is.
For the hearing.
No, I don't think so.
Well, Sandra's taking it. Call the October 22nd, 2014, meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission to order. First item on the agenda is roll call. Duke York Chair, Chris Grandfield, Jonah Jensen, Lisa Schlosser, and Jeff Williams are all present, as well as Ross Buffington and Marshall McClintock, our ex officios from the Wedge District and the North Slope District. Item 2B, is there any comments about the administrative reviews? Questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to 3A, which is a public hearing. That's on the Point Defiance Streetcar Station, 5801 Trolley Lane. Do we have staff comments first?
Sure, I'm going to be really brief on this since it appears as though we are not going to receive public comments.
It does not appear that way, no, there is.
I actually did have a public comment from Historic Tacoma, so.
Okay. Well, then I'll just read for the record then to say that this is a public hearing to consider the Tacoma Register listing of the Point Defiance Streetcar Station, which is at 5801 Trolley Lane. The register listing follows process and code. So starting with the preliminary meeting, which has already occurred, and then a public hearing to receive comment. Following this public hearing, the Landmarks Commission can elect to recommend a city council designation, recommended or to deny the nomination or to defer the nomination based on specific criteria. If it's put on the Landmarks Register, future changes to the property will be reviewed by the Landmarks Commission, and unnecessary demolition is also strongly discouraged by code. Staff has provided language for motions for deferral, acceptance, or denial. And with that, I will close my staff report.
Thank you. Ex officio McClintock, do you have comments?
Just for the record, I am not a voting member of the commission, and I'm speaking here on behalf of Historic Tacoma. And I just wanted to say that the Point Defiance Streetcar Station is arguably probably the most applicably designated building that's not been designated currently in the city, and so we full out encourage this commission and the city council to place this building on the register. It's a great building, lovely.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Love the building.
Ed, thank you. Hearing no more public comment, we'll close the public hearing. Any comments or questions by the commissioners? I will entertain a motion.
I move that Landmarks Preservation Commission recommend the City Council that Point Defiance Streetcar Station be included on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, finding that they meet criteria of TMC 13.07.040.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any additional discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item 4A, 615 Commerce Street, Old City Hall Historic District.
Sure. So this is a special tax valuation application. WAC 25420 enables local governments to adopt local legislation to provide special tax valuation of historic properties that have been rehabilitated. With regard to the application review process, state law authorizes local historic review boards to determine, first, whether the property is located within the class of property determined to be eligible for the program, whether the property has been rehabilitated at a cost equal to or exceeding 25% of the assessed improvement value in the 24 months prior to the date of the application, and whether the property has been altered in any way which adversely affects those elements which qualify it as historically significant. If the local review board finds that the property satisfies all three of these above requirements, then it shall, be on behalf of the city, enter into an agreement with the owner, which includes the provisions set forth in WAC 25420. Upon execution of the agreement, the property enters a special tax valuation. Per Tacoma Municipal Code 1.42, that body is this commission. This application is for the City Hall Annex building. Most recently, I think the commission probably saw the Pacific Brewing and Malting tenant improvement that went in there. There's law offices above. This is a contributing property within the old City Hall Historic District, which is a eligible class of property. The rehabilitation cost claimed is $159,081.58. The assessed improvement value prior to the rehab was $386,600, which is 41.15% of the property value was invested in rehabilitation. It took place from February 2012 to 2014, and the work included new roof, HVAC, interior aesthetic, renovation of commercial office building to include energy efficient lighting upgrades as well as paint, carpentry, and so forth. The work that was on the outside was not visible from the right of way. And so staff has reviewed the itemized expense sheet for the commission bylaws for special tax valuation cost eligibility and recommends approval of the application in the amount of $159,081.58. I believe the property owner is here in case he would like to say anything or the commission has any questions. But staff's recommending.
I'm excited to be here in case you guys have any questions. This is Joe Brand. He's also one of my partners in building.
Does the commission have any questions or comments? Hearing none, entertain a motion, a recommendation. I don't think we need to.
Oh, do we?
You do.
Yes. Recommendation.
I move that the Landmarks. Pardon me. I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission determine that the building is eligible and approve the application for the special tax incentive for 615 Commerce Street.
Here a second.
Second.
And that amount was $159,081.58. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Motion. It's really easy.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you.
So Mark's
been a great project.
We'll be in contact with the agreement, contract,
okay,
and so forth in the next couple of weeks.
Very good.
Come visit us at the brewery too.
Yeah. Yeah.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye. So that brings us to item 5, board briefing regarding proposed exterior modifications at 1932 Pacific Avenue, Union Depot Warehouse, historic.
Good evening.
Come on up, gentlemen.
Good evening. This is I'm really pleased to bring this building to you. This is the 8th building that we've done on Pacific Avenue, 8th Heritage Building, believe it or not, and 10th overall between 17th and 21st. And this is a building that we purchased about 7 years ago, and with the intent of eventually growing into it. It's really the first building, though, that we haven't got legislated funding for it. We're doing this out of campus reserves, and we're really trying to do it more as a tenant improvement. But in doing our analysis, there are some envelope issues that we need to take care of. And so I wanted to bring that to you because it is an historic district. We will be treating this, as far as the exterior, very much like we did all the others, looking at some insulated glass, looking at trying to maintain the character and the rhythm of the exterior with the heritage. And as we've talked often, the way to preserve these buildings is to activate them, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to put faculty offices in these. We're going to have a lot of 30 this year and more down the road, depending on our funding, and two classrooms potentially. And so you'll have UWT students in another building on Pacific. So it's just badly needed for us. The time frame is short. The money is not very plentiful, but we're going to make it happen. We don't have very many choices. The students are coming. As you know, we're on a pretty aggressive. The neat thing that I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, and I don't know if you guys have noticed it, instead of the fallback university, UW-Tacoma has become the university of choice for the South Sound community. And that's a neat thing to see in the programs you're offering. So with that, I'll just turn it over to Jordan. He'll explain a little bit about what they found out about the building. This used to be, some of you might have known this as the Artist Lofts, was the previous name for this one. We're calling it the McDonald Smith for the long-term tenants, which is our standard for these heritage buildings.
Thanks, Mel.
So, Jordan?
My name is Jordan Keel. I'm with Pacetti Architects. And like Mel said, we've been working on this for a little while now. It's a very fast-paced project. We started maybe a month or 6 weeks ago.
Well, let me step back. This is also unique in how we're doing it. This is our first go. As you know, we did the University Y as a design-build project, which is, again, another unique procurement, and it's turned out very well. This is going to be the first statewide design-build tenant improvement, and we were fortunate that John Baker here with Mortensen is the contractor and Bassetti's our architect as a team. And so, again, a different way of approaching it in that the team will determine with us what we're going to do what's the scope of the work going to be. So
this presentation's got three parts to it. It's fairly short. A little bit of site discussion orientation for you, get you familiar with the buildings. Brief conversation about the history of the building, and then we want to jump into showing you some of the existing conditions and the work we're proposing. Because of the tight timeline on this project, you know, we understand this is your first time seeing this project, and so this is an introduction, and we know that we'll have to come back again to you for final approval, but what we're looking for at this meeting is just sort of a general buy-in or acceptance of the approach so that we know that we can continue on forward. We're going to be progressing into another contract with the university here shortly, a design build team, to really start going in for permit immediately and execute this project so that they have classroom space and office space available by next September. So a very aggressive schedule. So here we are with the site. This is the master plan that was done in 2008 or 2009. And the gray buildings are ones that have been renovated or built new. So for instance, that's a new building. But these are all the old warehouse buildings along Pacific. And these have all been renovated. So this is really the last one in a line that the university owns. The university does not own the Harmon Lofts or the Soda building there. And so we're really treating this as a complex of buildings. This is just the extension of that complex. So you've got Commerce Street along the backside, Pacific Street along the front with the light rail, and this is a real strong commercial center, much thanks to UW for that. So a few images of various facades. Again, it's really part of this, of a complex of the building. So this is the Harmon building right here in the foreground. And then we've got three bays that are the McDonald Smith building, and then starting right here going back, that's what we're going to call the Cherry Parks building. It's actually the Cherry Parks building, and then another from, what's the next one?
The Philip Hall and then Walsh Gardner.
But they're all internally connected buildings. And then, so there's a head-on view of that same facade. So those are our three bays along Commerce Street, with the Harmon building on the right there. And then along Pacific, these are the three bays with the Cherry Parks building here on the right.
Well, also, just a note, we also will be keeping retail on the Pacific ground floor, trying to keep that as a viable retail area.
That's been one of the challenges of the project, is to keep the retailers, you know, there and undisturbed while we
operate this
building. So we're very committed to that. So a little brief history. Like most major American cities, we saw a big fire here in Tacoma, which drastically changed the way we build buildings. And so there was a boom of, along with the railroad, a boom of building brick warehouse buildings, and this was part of that. So in 1890, they started building it, and they built it from the north to the south in three bays. So these, this partition here actually extends all the way through the entire building. There are a few fire doors in that wall, but it was always designed with the idea that they could have three different tenants, and they did to some degree throughout the years, but not always. So anyway, they built these first two bays, and then they waited 10 years and came back and built the last bay. So there's actually a little bit of a different treatment in some of these openings. And then, of course, it sat vacant for many years. And then in the late 1980s, they did a major renovation of the building and turned it into the live-work lofts that everybody knows are there today. during that time, they went to some length to actually replicate some of these old details, and the storefront is actually in quite nice shape because of that renovation. So now I'm going to jump into showing you some of the existing conditions and talk about what the work we're proposing. So here's a view that shows the Cherry Parks building here in the foreground, the McDonald Smith building, which is our project, and then the Harmon building in the background. And so you can see these windows were all replaced with aluminum clad wood windows, double pane glazing. And actually, I want to go back a slide. You'll see in this image, these windows were originally a dark color of some type. And so they've done a really nice job of restoring this old facade, and we want to take the exact same treatment and continue it down to complete our complex of buildings. Here's a zoomed-in picture of a few of those windows along Pacific. They're not in good shape. Moving around back, this is one bay, the north bay of the McDonald Smith building, but I wanted to show this because, again, it's that extension of this complex. So this is the Cherry Parks building, and we want to take that same window treatment and extend it through.
Actually, going to the darker windows will really kind of unify the whole block.
And so here's a little quick analysis that I did when I was out on the site to show all the variety of window treatments. This is a real hodgepodge. This was the back of the building. This has been a working building throughout the years and has been changed to suit the needs of the time. And so I think it was in the late 80s when they did that renovation, they turned this window into a door and this window into a door. These doors have been replaced fairly recently with aluminum clad wood doors, very nice, the exact same ones that we see over in Cherry Parks. These windows had a slightly different treatment because they were built 10 years after the rest of these, and I'm not completely clear on why that one's different than the rest, but it seems to be. So they've done what they had to do throughout the years to keep it relevant. And so here are some images of the windows on that Commerce side, and you can see here that it's in really rough shape. You're looking down on a sill here, and so this is a cast iron sill. In fact, if I go back up, so you can see these sills that poke out. Those are cast iron. And we would sandblast and repaint those and keep them, but you can see the wood is completely deteriorated. And so looking at a comparison side by side, this is what has been done on the first floor at Cherry Parks, and they did keep that sill, just as we're proposing. And then this is a brand new aluminum clad wood window with low E glazing, so that helps us quite a bit with our solar heat gain here on the west facade. And you can see that we've already started that in those three door openings the university has. And then this is one of the original windows that we would want to replace with something in kind. Moving around back to the Pacific side, this is one of the windows in Cherry Parks. And you can see they've done a nice job of maintaining the detail but and the overall look. And so we would want to apply that same thinking to our windows over at MDS. This is sort of a little minor thing, but of those two door openings that used to be windows along Commerce, we would like to turn one of them back into a window and proposing some sort of infill below that most likely is not brick.
Why not brick?
Because of the challenge of sourcing brick that will look appropriate. We're not proposing any demolition of the exterior walls, and so getting good exterior quality brick out of this building would be a trick. So thinking about the site, we've got a structured sidewalk here in front of our building, and we've got a lot of vehicular traffic. It leaks, by the way. And then a lot of vehicular traffic coming in and out of the Harmon building. And so this really just does not feel like a safe space for pedestrians, and we'd like to address both the leaking issue and the safety issue.
The interesting thing about the sidewalk here that this is not street right away, it's vacated street. So it's under university control.
And so you can see when they renovated Cherry Parks almost 10 years ago now, they did some nice site work but then just stopped abruptly at our building. So we're really just wanting to extend that same vocabulary across the face of the building there. And then lastly, we are proposing some roof work. There was, in the 30s, an elevator added right behind the facade. It's actually a really strange spot for an elevator, but I think that was back when this was a loading dock and they just needed it right there by the door. At any rate, that's the only thing that's visible from the ground that we'd be altering, and we'd actually be removing it. And that's what we're proposing. So in the late 80s, they added this little pop-up so they could get some of these, they could basically double the number of lofts they have, and there's a little mezzanine with a bed up there. It's kind of a neat space, but it doesn't really work for the university's needs and for egress concerns, so we would be demolishing that and just patching the roof back in. And we believe that when we put a new elevator in the middle here that we won't actually even need an overrun at all, but nothing that we do up there would be visible from the ground. And that, so then there are roof plans that go with that. We'd be putting a few skylights in place of those little pop-ups. So that is that's the presentation on what we're proposing. We'll open up for discussion now. Are there any questions or thoughts?
You showed a slide of windows, and the configuration was different. If you go back, yeah, I think that was it. So you've got the double sash here, and you've got a single casement here. Would you replicate with the double sash clad on the right, or are you going to make it a single?
I'm not sure I would replicate the double sash, and I would see us going that direction.
Okay.
Since that's what's there now.
Right.
I wasn't here when we did Cherry Park, so I don't know if they had double sash there before.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't find a record of the backside of this building that showed me what Cherry Parks did or why they did it. Near as I can tell, This horizontal line lines up with the tops of their doors, and that maybe that's why they did it. But
but Jeff, on the joy, we did the replicated sash.
Okay.
So the question is whether or not the window configuration is going to change, or you're going to keep the same configuration.
The same number of lights, yeah, for the double sash, which if that's great.
We certainly can.
Yeah, yes. That's what we're looking at doing.
Perfect.
Yep.
I should note that UWT is a client of BLRB Architects, but it wouldn't impact my decision one way or the other.
Thank you. Any other questions?
There is ghost signage on both the Pacific Avenue side and the Commerce side.
Right.
How are you planning?
We are not. we are not going to sandblast it off. And if we were, we would have taken very good pictures of it before we did. Right now, we don't have a lot of. Actually, we don't have a lot of money to do much exterior work, so be very minimal work. If we do any tuck money at all, it'll just be for structural reasons. So I don't see us really doing any exterior that would change the. Okay. The ghost signage that we have there.
Yeah, we'd like to do a very light detergent wash, but nothing acidic. Yeah. I'm trying to find that picture. It's the head-on of that. Where is it? I thought there was a head-on picture that we had that was perfect.
And even though Peter's not around anymore, we're going to honor the ghost signs.
So, yeah, the downspouts could use some work. So, you know, we'll replace those with new scupper boxes and downspouts, but, you know, in keeping with what you see down the street at Cherry Parks, which is a very, it's not a super out there thing. It's pretty conservative. And then we've got some conduit that somebody ran at some point to get around something else, I think. So, yeah, it's sort of a cleanup of the facade that's not...
I think I know who that was.
Not major changes.
With the mortar overall, so you don't feel you need to do any significant...
Actually, this side, at least, was repointed within the last, I think, 5 years.
We had to come in. Yeah, we actually had, when we bought the building, there were some loose bricks kind of falling off, and so we had to do some structural repairs, make sure it hangs together.
Are there plans for awnings or anything like that on the commercial side?
We hadn't talked about any on the Pacific. And we would leave that more to, you know, our retail component. Because we are trying to do some things on the retail side, as you guys have been approached for, you know, trying to add some variety and character to that. So that would be part of that package, and it would be in this work.
Sure.
We might look at some coverings or, you know, trying to... one of the things we have talked about, but we haven't gotten there yet, is some weather protection on the backside. Actually, Cherry Parks was originally supposed to have some. And if you think of that whole loading dock concept, but I don't think it'll be in this budget.
We're purposely excluding it from this project because we anticipate that being probably a longer conversation than we frankly have time for.
The same with exterior lighting, or is there no plan changes?
For exterior lighting, I mean, there aren't...
there's a couple of wall packs, I think, for
some security. Yeah, there's a wall pack here. I think what we would want to do is replicate what Cherry Parks did as well. You know, they've got a fixture at a similar height. It's a pretty simple little downlight fixture that hangs off the wall. And I think if we did anything, we'd probably just put... two or four along the facade.
More for security than anything else. And the Pacific side, I don't foresee us changing anything on that side at all.
You had a picture of, it looks like a decorative element on one of the upper windows that was badly deteriorated. Are those, the one on the right, is that just peeling paint, or will you need to do something... with that?
The ones that are on the mold, we'll probably try to replicate those in some kind of a more durable material.
Okay.
I'm not sure if we're going to be able to find Fipon or something like that that wouldn't have to be painted every year.
Okay.
Can you salvage those that are in good shape, though? I mean, if indeed that's just peeling paint.
We haven't looked at them that closely yet, have we, to say whether or not?
Yeah, we've looked at them pretty close. I mean, they're in pretty bad shape. Certainly look into that, but I think that they're in poor enough shape that it would be quite difficult and might put the university in a bad position in the future to just have to repaint it or continue maintenance in the future. So we're just trying to help them.
I guess my point is if you're going to replace them, can you make them available for a salvage company or something like that rather than just toss them?
We
can't tell from the picture, but that could be an element that could be fixed.
You make a good point. Some of the gear and stuff, if we take that stuff out, especially the weights and balances in the windows that we take out, we should see if we can find a recycler for those. That's a good point.
That's a good point.
So you'd be replicating what you're replacing 100% on these with a different material? Is that what you're saying?
Right now, we don't know. We haven't investigated that enough. That would be something we'd have to come back to you with.
What about the cornice at the top? It looked like there was a decorative cornice. Is there not at the top of the building? That was just a pull away.
You want an overall building job?
Yeah.
At the top, that we were not planning on doing any work to.
So that's in good shape. Was that iron work?
Is that tin?
Oh, on the parapet? We're not going up there.
Okay.
You know, I'm not sure that I haven't personally touched it.
I believe it might be some sort of sandstone, I think, out there.
You'll notice from the original pictures, there used to be actually a decorative parapet up above that had a kind of a monumental
in the middle.
Type thing.
Have a neat picture.
There you go.
It's pretty cool.
That's an existing one.
They did a nice job of replicating that storefront back in the 80s. Looks pretty close. At least the little column details.
So really, it's the second and third floors that have those, all of those have those decorative elements in the windows, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll see those for approval, correct?
We'll bring you something specific.
Okay.
What have you investigated for that one window on the back side where you said you can't really find the brick? What's the choices?
In terms of the
below doorway?
Yeah.
Kind of anything but brick. I mean, that's actually an area where we're open for input at this point. It could be board formed concrete. It could be a little metal panel that's in keeping with the other sort of infill portions down the way. And matching the color of the new windows.
There's one already infilled though, right? I thought your picture showed one.
No.
Already.
That one was...
What was that one?
Oh, we would infill it. It wasn't infill.
Oh, it was a rendering
then. Yeah.
Look real.
That was a Photoshop infill.
Yes. It was. It was a Photoshop infill, yeah. So okay. Right below it, it was just showing kind of a dark gray material. In my experience, I haven't ever seen a really great match job with current brick because the color variation, they're too good at getting consistency in their bricks today. And so, I mean, we could try to go match the color, but if you get close to this building, you'd have to ask, what color are you matching? Because it goes from a deep purple to a red in each brick almost. So
I think the challenge really is getting the right size and color combined.
And size is, right, exactly. Yeah.
Will you reproduce the sill as well?
That is another piece that we were planning to not reproduce. It's a one-off to go, we'd have to basically pull out another sill and find somebody at a foundry that will cast a whole new cast iron sill. It's a fairly complicated detail to replicate.
I understand what you're saying, but I would imagine you could not necessarily have to pull a cell out to get it replicated. You could probably do some kind of something that I think what you're saying would look similar, mm-hmm. and could, you know, go with whatever you decide to infill with underneath. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, and the idea of looking in salvage for bricks mm-hmm. is out. Is that kind of what you don't have the time or the money or the ingenuity or the effort to do it?
Time. Yeah, mm-hmm. essentially it's time. I mean, that's a lot of time for somebody to go and fuss around trying to find something that's going to mm-hmm. match just right. Albeit it's not a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that the idea of filling in with a material is also part of keeping a record of this is a working building that's changed over the years, and we're not trying to fake it. Mm-hmm. Where that was a door opening, it was a window first, it was a door opening second, and third, it was back to that window opening. And so, you know, if you, it's just the, I guess, two different approaches of
sure.
trying to replicate what was versus.
It'd be interesting to see what you come up with.
Okay. We'll dig into that a little bit deeper.
Any other questions?
Okay, we'll plan on coming back.
Thank you very much.
In a month or so, we'll also be visiting you again for the Tacoma Paper Stationery as that continues to move through the process.
So just to let you know, for your planning purposes, the Landmarks Commission has only two scheduled meetings for the remainder of the year after this one, on the November 12th and December, I think it's 10th. And so we'll want to hit one of those two,
okay.
I think, next, if you're on that kind of schedule.
That'd be great. Yeah.
So just to let you know.
I'll email you in the next couple of days.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. And this is Jeannie Nada, by the way. I was remiss in introducing her. She's our project manager from our Seattle campus.
Seattle project on the Powell project in the last week.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, we get to be a regular here anyway.
Well, you're number three on the list.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Item 6A, events and activities updates.
Yeah. So we have the Adaptive Reuse Open House and Harmon Brewery Tour on November 14th, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Harmon. Commissioners are free, and other people can purchase tickets through Eventbrite.
All beer you can drink, right?
No, they'll have appetizers available, and the Harmon said that they will do some small tastings during the tours, so that'll be a lot of fun, and we'll have presentations from Ruben, Community and Economic Development, and the Harmon, just talking about different projects in Tacoma, financial...
Councilmember Bo.
Yes, Bo will be hosting, so it should be a lot of fun, and hope that you can attend. Second event is the holiday fundraiser, December 5th, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Foss Waterway Seaport. I'm still looking for a big band and catering, so if you have any recommendations, send that my way. January board retreat. Did anyone have any thoughts about that? We had one email from James, I think, and he requested that the board retreat be something a little more educational about procedure and landmarking process and legal things of that nature. So that would be like a lunch and then a technical presentation. But if anybody else...
I was just going to jump in and say that we haven't had a retreat at the commission for a really long time. After the turn of the year, we'll have some new commissioners on board. Hopefully people are applying to be on the commission. and to fill our vacancies, because we're kind of short-staffed right now. We're a big ship, you know, light crew. But it's really an opportunity to both get to know one another, to, you know, enhance your project review or decision-making skills if there are things you're not totally comfortable with, or just ideas of how you apply those standards, or you know, operating as a group. You know, all those things are open, or something, you know, fun. You know, I guess all those things could be fun too. But so if you have any feedback for us on what you'd like to see, we'd like it to be valuable. We'd like it to be valuable enough where members of the commission would want to attend. And so, so any thoughts? We, you know, just shoot them. You can shoot them to me. Shoot them to Lauren.
And time also. If there's times during January that you won't be available, if you have length of, you know, half a day open, let me know about that too. Scheduling issues.
So, and I really the holiday event. We're really hoping that it's something fun. Part of the idea here is that we're trying to generate a little more excitement and lightness around some of the issues, instead of just, you know, all having it be about reviewing window applications all the time, and really, because there's a lot broader relevance, I think, to the community about the way the preservation works and what value it brings to people living in the city. And so we're hoping to have more of this opportunity for discussion, as well as raise some funds to allow us to do more programming, have a little more flexibility. And the same goes with the Harmon tour. By the way, commissioners, I consider commissioners that wish to attend to also be there as diplomats between the community and the historic preservation program as well. That's I think part of your role too, is to liaise that way if you see fit, if you can be there. And so, at any rate, those are my remarks. But the retreat is something that we haven't had one for a really long time, and so it seems like something that would be was, I guess, long overdue, because this group of people has been working together for a little while now, and you've never had any sort of, you know, just downtime away from project review to talk about the process of being a commissioner. So let us know.
Yeah, thank you. I guess the next item is the recap for the Nitty Gritty Art Show. Thanks to Earthwise, it went really well. They put in a lot of work. They had three different music groups that went really well. People were having a lot of time. I think we had over 100 people throughout the day. Artists sold a lot of art. Finwick's food truck was there, and they sold a lot. People want to do it again, make it an annual event. There were council members there, commissioners. Yeah, it was just a really great experience, and Earthwise is really wanting to be involved with us and do other events. So
it was really cool. I don't know if anybody made it out there, but it was, I mean, we had the bands were pretty cool, like, you know, listening to old Graham Parsons music, you know, and things like that. But people, you know, the thing that I really liked about it was the couple of different things. I mean, there's one guy, you know, kind of young guy, walking through the parking lot, you know, dialing on his phone, calling his friends, and I never knew about this place. Dude, you know, they have all this, like, stuff down here. Come on down and look at it. And I heard a bunch of conversations like that, which, you know, in a lot of people I overheard were completely unaware before this event that Earthwise even exists. And so, and, you know, and it's a great resource. I think the News Tribune called me up after the event to talk about Earthwise and the role in salvaging materials in historic preservation quite a bit. So I think that it was a real sweet spot to hit. And even seeing people that are, you know, maybe a generation younger than me that were walking around and discussing, I mean, because it brings out history. So, like, you know, people were standing around and one person said, "Why is it called the City of Destiny anyways?" And, you know, his friend goes, "Well," you know, and so it was pretty cool to see that, because I don't envision folks of that age group running around talking about what the City of Destiny means all the time, and so it was heartwarming to me, and an example of exactly the kind of thing we're trying to do. We're trying to merge different things and bring these, like, you know, these interests and perspectives together to advance the overall awareness of preservation. So,
as a contractor, I've had a lot of real positive experiences with Earthwise. Earthwise is a for-profit. It's not a non-profit setup,
But they've partnered with the Master Builders Association, so that, which is a nonprofit. So if you were to, for instance, have extra things that you wanted to donate that were resaleable, older items, kinds of stuff, you could take them to Earthwise, and they, through a second-party agreement with Master Builders, could give you a tax slip for those things. Now, they're going to turn around and brush them off and clean them up and sell them, but they're going to go back into the community, and so it's not like taking it to the landfill. It's a step better, and through this process, they've made an arrangement so that you actually can get a tax write-off for your donations as well. So,
I'll let people know. I didn't know about the tax write-off, so I'll let people know about that.
Well, and then there are no new updates on the Eyes of the Totem. I think MoMA's busy until November, so they're going to get back on that project then, and then hopefully things will be moving. After that, we have a proposed February Heritage Professionals Mixer, and that was brought to me by Heritage League. And so they just kind of want to get everyone in the community together, talk about events that we can share and collaborate, and kind of bridging the gap between the cultural history and the architectural history. So I'll be working on that. And then continued work on the 2015 Preservation Month planning. I've had a good response at our monthly meetings. Now a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a good amount of people from the community have come out and provided ideas, and Earthwise has been very involved. And so the calendar is kind of coming together now. So we have some things that are set and some things that are going to happen, but we're still waiting for dates. So Preservation Month proclamation, that's going to be May 5th. Historic Homes Tour with Tacoma Historical Society is May 2nd and 3rd. Historic Tacoma said that they will redo or some sort of, I don't know, another form of the postcard event that they had last year for the kickoff event. So hoping to have that during the first week of May. We're going to do the Youth Spoken Word Contest in Hilltop on a Friday. And then we're still looking for a venue there. Amazing Preservation Race, I have scheduled tentatively for May 16th, but we'll work around all the events and see how venues fall into place. We're going to have the Tweed Ride. Earthwise said that they're gonna host the photo scavenger hunt, and it'll be in their neighborhood, and they'll probably have a reception afterwards. And they have a really cool idea of trying to get kids to come out and set up the scavenger hunt and look for the details before we put them out. So that will be a lot of fun. The committee really wants to do a historic cook-off with either a historical recipe or the Bimbo's recipes, and then have restaurants compete. And there's, so there's a lot of different ideas of how that might work. Maybe restaurants could do a Historic Preservation Month special on their menu. People can go out in the community, go to the restaurants, and then vote online. Or there can be an event where people are tasting samples of sauce or food or recipes and voting all at one space. And so people are now investigating just what the restaurants might be interested in doing. So that'll be a lot of fun if that comes together. And then the Foss Waterway Seaport will host our closing ceremony and preservation awards. So that was really great of them to do that. And they'll combine it probably with some sort of an exhibit on Foss and Tacoma's waterfront and the changes it's gone through, and a showing of Tugboat Annie. So I think it'll be a pretty packed month, and you can start adding these things to your schedule.
We will.
Sorry, yeah. I was just going to say one thing you might want to keep in mind is that the Broadway Market starts up again in May. So I don't know if you want to do any kind of like little stand that talks about Historic Preservation Month in May or something in the market. But that's, you know, a lot of people are through there at that time.
Yeah, I think that would be great. We have literature to give out. Definitely probably need some volunteers to help man a table the whole time. So that's the only kind of, right now it looks like we're going to have about 2 events a week. So that's pretty packed schedule. And that's, looks like every Saturday in May, so just be kind of manpower of getting people out there. And I'm going to Tacoma Makes a Difference on October 25th to recruit more volunteers. So that's something to be thinking about, volunteers, sponsors, people who can provide or help provide, you know, t-shirts, prizes, art, posters, things like that for this event.
Cool.
I like the idea of having, if we have the person power for it, to mm-hmm. have the presence in the farmer's market, I think it's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. And, just on that point, when we have these community events going forward in the future, I hope to have sort of a kit that we can send along and set up, you know, as a booth in different areas. So thank you.
Yeah, that'd be really helpful to have.
As always, if anybody has a irresistible affinity for anything you've heard here, please let Lauren know, because we're probably going to be stretched pretty thin and looking for people. She's going to be looking for volunteers. And so if you also know of anybody that would be interested as well, if you know of any younger people that might be looking for some level of involvement too, please let us know and we'll contact them.
Yeah, internships, volunteer hours, especially in the Indian Preservation Race, that is going to take a lot of manpower. So definitely help with that.
Could you review the meeting dates again? You said we only have two left before the end of the year, or am I?
Yes, so they are November 12th and December 10th.
So there's nothing on, okay. And that's it.
Yeah, there's a possibility that I may have an ARC request, but I was going to try to fold that into a regular meeting instead of having a separate meeting.
I won't be in town on the 12th of November.
Okay. Whichever meeting you fail to attend, we'll make sure.
I see how it is.
Office nominations are typically at the last meeting of the year, I think. And then voting around the first. But the commission is kind of awkward because there's some turnover sometimes, so the commission sometimes defers that into the new year.
Yeah. Anything else? Hearing nothing? We are adjourned. It's been less than an hour. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you guys got my ballot, right?
If anyone's interested, I'll send out an email on November 1st. My wife and I are having some folks from work over to the house for just a little get-together. I'll send out an email with the info, but I want to open it up to you and your spouses or significant others if you're interested.
You want to come crash the party?
November 1st, you can come crash the party, please.
Right. But, having been to the one party, I have to say his house is extraordinary. It's worth seeing. It's so beautiful. It's one of those...